October 28, 2013, it's a Lot from Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show in Pedro, but not at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point because Brother Matt is sick, unfortunately. Where I am is at Prac Pad here up at the Angels Gate Cultural Center. And, we started off with Ruby, My Dear by John Coltrane, the Thelonious Monk, and then Dada, My Sawako. I got some guests. Oh, everybody, please wish Brother Matt get well soon kind of thing.
Get well, Matt.
Okay. Okay, you heard my guess there. Jason Fine. Tim Ziegler.
Eric Schatz.
Buddy.
Original crew. Orange County crew. Okay. From back in the Minutemen days.
Right. Jason, his pop wrote a book I read this summer that is incredible. It's called Imagining Los Angeles. And, I love it. I knew a little bit of stuff, you know, reading around, encyclopedias. The Chinatown movie was probably my biggest educator, which is ridiculous because it's theater. Although the man, Mr. Town,
mm-hmm.
Pedro. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess...
He's a Pedro guy?
I think the hill, and then he came down.
Yeah, right.
Sharon Tate?
Yeah, I know that.
Pedro.
Lock him out of Pedro.
Yeah. But anyway, people, I really recommend it. If you, live in SoCal or you're interested... And you want to know where it came from, you know, there is a story behind it. And what he's trying to do with the book, what Jason's pop was doing was he's trying to talk about how the literature came to be. And to do that, he had to tell the story of how the area came to be. And it starts around the 1870s, 1880s. And it's really interesting. And it goes through these phases. And, of course, there's a Hollywood part. And there's a hard-boiled part. And then there's a rough and tumble. We were talking about Mr. Fontaine. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Picasso. You know he's buried here.
I know that.
His last 14 years.
Yeah.
He said he liked Pedro. He said people here were... what do you tell me? They were what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe
playing, he was always looking for
playing
that.
Speaking,
yep.
Playing speaking.
Yep.
Playing. I know he wasn't looking for you to read your poems to him. You know, read the books. You're like, this is an angry man. Every time I met with him, he was really nice. His wife Linda went to.
Did you spend time with him here in Peter?
Yeah. Well, I got to meet him. Yeah. You know, I never stopped him out or anything. But his wife Linda would come to Minutemen gigs and stuff, and she still lives here,
cool.
Takes care of all the things.
And Bukowski had a lot to do with getting Fonte recognized.
Yeah, he loved him. Loved that stuff.
Yeah.
And, but your pop's part of that. Anyway, I get to ask Jason, you know, I got to read the work, but I'm kind of interested in where it came from.
Yeah, you know, my dad was born in Brooklyn, but moved to L.A. when he was 10. His father had this dream of being in the movies, just like a lot of people who'd come to California before,
like
following the dream. He wanted to be an actor. He was working for his family business, and he was feeling kind of beaten down by that, and he wanted something totally different. So he brought the whole family out to California, two boys, his wife, my grandma, and then other parts of the family followed him, too. They got written out of the wills. To this day, when I see an old relative in New York, they'll be like, why'd you guys move to California?
Also, it was a heavy move.
70 years later, heavy move. So,
but what he wanted to do was reinvent himself.
He wanted to reinvent
himself. Which is part
himself.
Of the story.
That's,
right,
that's right. What L.A.'s always
That's what you were
about.
Telling me about. Okay.
Yeah. Now, he never really actually made it in the movies. He got cast, apparently, in one Western where he fell off a horse, and that was the end of his film career. But I've been going through all
for the rest of his
life. Pictures, his glamorous pictures of the guy wearing cowboy. You know, this is a Jewish guy from Brooklyn wearing cowboy hats and big boots and all that stuff. But I think, you know, for my dad.
That's why they call it acting.
Exactly.
You know, let's say you need a Martian. Do you get a guy from Mars? No.
No, exactly.
I mean, Paul Muni with the tape on. No, Richard Rooney with the tape on you.
Yeah, I know. You start looking at movies
Breakfast
that way.
At Tiffany.
It's like, wow.
That's like 60s, right? Yeah. Oh, nice radio. The funniest one was with Paul Muni because the number one son is a
That's
China
right.
guy, but he's, hey, Pop's talking like this, and the guy, oh, yeah, number one son.
I know. It's hard
but anyway.
Well, my dad really, like, his basic idea was that, you know, no one gave L.A. enough credit, you know, for great books, great music, great culture, that, you know, everyone thought of L.A. as this kind of vapid, empty place, and all this great shit came from here. And so, I mean, for him... Literature is where it kind of started, and he really pinpointed it is starting in 1939. Three books were written in L.A., three great novels. Raymond Chandler, The Big Sleep, John Fonte, Ask the Dust, and Nathaniel West's Day of the Locust. Yeah, so at Cal State Long Beach, he started the first American Studies department, which was a mix between history and literature, and then they really started specializing in California and really studying where we're from, and that was kind of the whole origins of this book.
Way. It's incredible.
Takes off in his dissertation, which is immigrant fiction in America,
and
that's why L.A. is kind of a real representative place because it is a zone of immigration, and for its fertility, its richness comes from that.
That's right.
Like one of his early studies is that Louis Adamek, a Slovenian guy, comes from
here.
Yeah,
he talks about him big time.
It's amazing. As a historian, I thought his work from doing literature and history in place, like California, Los Angeles. Untouchable.
It's actually a damage because they have a little V over the C with the immigration. In fact, we got an immigration building. Those guys made the decision that would change your life forever.
Right.
We don't know where.
Exactly.
So you'll see Slav names with CH,
okay.
which is a sound.
Yeah.
But it's
a
spelling with
a
C with a little V.
Move on.
Another point he makes is this is as far as you could go.
Yeah.
This was the edge.
But with Kerouac said, end of the land.
Sort of what's trippy about that was I was asking, I think it was David Thomas, because he lives in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's it about Brighton? He said the same thing. You're going down from London,
end of the land.
You can't go. That's it.
You better face yourself now, because nowhere else to go.
Your pop gets into that dynamic big time.
Yeah, one of the things I remember from being a kid was that he just took such joy in the history of L.A. He thought that no one paid attention to all the great buildings we had and, you know, old things. So he would send all his students out, and he'd give them little things they had to find and take pictures of, things that you wouldn't know existed. So, for example, I went with him one day down to what was the Million Dollar Theater. It was the first theater, an Art Deco cinema, and we snuck in the back, and you get a picture of it, and then you'd bring it back to his class and do a slideshow with all these pictures. And he let me do the soundtrack, so I would put the songs together to go with these slideshows, and he would really turn his students on to the real rich history that L.A. had that no one knew about, the buildings, this is the Bradbury Building, all these really great places.
Don't take it for granted,
check it out. Don't take it for granted, exactly.
Look, you brought some music here, Jason. I picked the next one. We lost Brother Lou.
Yeah.
He's been sick.
We've been thinking about Brother Lou.
Like killing me.
Yeah.
And last night I did Sister Ray. What I got here is, have you ever heard of the guitar amp tape?
No.
There's a gig that Velvet Underground did in 69 in Boston. It was called the Tea Party. I played there when it was called Avalon Ballroom. It's right by Fenway. And they put either the tape recorder or the microphone right on Lou's amp, so it's like a Lou show. So we're going to hear
that. Guitar amp show, that's cool. I'm not afraid of the dark.
laughter, running, falling, drifting across the minefield of your thoughts, dissolved, wondering, who am I? Why should I be alone? Alone.
Ha-cha!
Wife for Pedro show. Yeah, we started off with the Velvet Underground Live, 1969. I can't stand it. It's from something they call the guitar tape because the amp, the microphone or tape recorder was put right on Lou's amp, so that's why you don't hear any singing or any drums and stuff, but it's interesting. Then we heard Devin, Gary, and Ross. Your Head Is Wheeling. You might know the Gary, Gary Panner.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo.
Oh.
The comic. And then he ended up doing some sets for Pee Wee.
Really? Oh.
Old Fashioned Street by Dirty Beaches. Yeah, I had him in here a couple weeks ago. Mm. Alex. Cool people, yeah.
Yeah, you got the poster up.
And, yeah, he gave me much respect. He just finished the whooping door.
Did he give you the Jim Beam bottle?
This is from Chicago, the,
Hard Rock Cafe.
The party site. what's it called? Double Door?
Double Door, sure.
It's on Milwaukee, yeah. And there's like two sets of doors.
Yeah.
And then finally we heard Zoom by El Sonio de Maranayo. That's a trio I got with two guys from Italy.
Yep.
I'm going to make a second album in December.
That's great. What else do you have coming up?
I'm doing the final All Tomorrow's Party. They're packing it up.
Oh, that's it,
it's going away. Hmm. 14 years.
We saw that one here with you and George did.
Georgie
Queen Mary.
And the Stooges.
I think that was the first time I saw the Stooges after they came back, right?
Yeah, my mom saw it, and she said, yeah, that's interesting awesome. Way Mr. Pop has with bonding with the audience.
Jump right in.
He said to a young man, fuck you, and gave him the finger, and the young man gave him the finger, and fuck you back, and he said, oh, yeah.
Your mom,
very interesting.
Your mom took that in. And
yeah, she thought it was like, whoa, yeah. You know, bridging the, you know, putting the
that must have
span
been,
in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
know.
Man.
That must have been a trip for you two to just watch Iggy's style on stage, like when you started playing with him. You know.
The first one, yeah, but I had already been doing it maybe a year and a half.
By that time.
Because April 2003 was the first one.
Okay.
Shit, the first we practiced the day before. I mean, it was like a gig. It was just us, the Ashton brothers, me and him in a room. But he was...
you got called in like pretty quick, right? Like
I was on tour with my second man. I flew from Memphis.
Right.
Yeah, I got the call in Tallahassee at a place called Cowhouse.
Uh-huh.
Sink on the phone.
He called you directly?
Yeah. He walked, there's a phone. And he's, hey, Mike, Ronnie says you're the man. I was like, fuck. I could have never imagined. He goes, will you do me a favor? Will you wear a T-shirt instead of a flannel? I said, fuck. I'm focused. Yeah, anyway. He was like, more dress for Perry. I said, what about Converse and Levi? He said, that's strong.
That's strong.
He said, you know them leather things the kid got on the rest? I said, yeah. He said, I'm into that. So Toby talked about clothes and lighting and stuff. And then at the very end, he gets to the music. He goes, now look, however we end the songs, that's how we end them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on a plane. You know, I left my guys. I got sick on the flight.
You were going to Europe?
I didn't tell, no, from Memphis to, it was here, it's Coachella.
Okay.
So, India, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
The prac was in Hollywood. And I'm not telling. It's like a 20-foot pool cue, but a cue up my ass, you know, and fever and all that.
I remember that, yeah.
It's a nightmare. But when I went back, I met my guys in Raleigh. I did 35 straight gigs. That gig burned it out. The wind was really blowing. It blew over Ronnie's amps. I remember Ig Stop Dirt. He comes up to me and goes, are we in the right key? I said, yeah. Okay, start it again. It was surreal to me. I mean, this is a Stooges. Yeah. We wouldn't even have a punk scene without this band.
Yeah, that's right.
And here I'm up there, and I owe them everything. I got to get it together. Scotty brought me a Dave Alexander shirt. Mm-hmm. I wore a Dave Alexander shirt. His name is David Michael Alexander. My name is Michael David Watt. That trip.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Can you imagine me around these guys? My ears turned into like elephant-sized Africa ones. You know, not the India ones. Nothing against them. These are like the Africa ones.
It's like a hometown gig, too.
And big sponges. No, but just every time I'm with them, I'm asking them stuff. I want to soak. They're from the 60s. They're from a whole other world.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we wouldn't have a punk scene without them, but they're... They don't really know us. Mm-hmm. And we only know, like, little, what did Plato say, the shadows at the back of the cave or something?
That's right.
Right? Chinese telephone. You only get them here, went here, and here. I'm right at the source. It's like the old blues guy on the porch, right?
That's right.
So, and, you know, I get to do music that's righteous, but to be I can understand your pop wanting to get in culture. There's something about it. I wish there'd be more of a hunger for that. I think, in a way, young people having access to the internet has got a shot at that.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the old days you did have limitations physically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now if you got a hankering mind, you can...
Yeah.
You have to be careful and critical, of course.
Yeah.
But you can get out there if you get the thirst, you get the hunger. The bone has that little weight in the back.
Yeah.
I never knew what that was as a kid. I thought it was some kind of mechanism. Yeah. I found it was just to, like, even it out.
Yeah.
There's a little weight in the back.
The trombone frustrated my dad so badly that he turned it into a lamp. So we had this lamp that he made out of trombone, just like, forget this, I'm not playing this thing again. But then he took it up at the end.
He's studying MFA or UCLA before he switched to literature? Like,
he got a music degree undergrad and then went back in grad school, UCLA.
He's bad.
So he was really into it.
Let's do some more music.
Yeah.
noisy wide-eyed kids raced around the Christmas tree, and Steve tapped on the roof of cars over impatient drivers. Repetition prolongs the strength of illusion, and artificial forms diminish, becoming frail and silent to the appearance of a lone ocean bird, skimming over the choppy waters, airily eyeing after anchovies, and occasionally glancing at the people who had come to be at the beach on a winter solstice. I watch this bird in flight, using the wind. Against the wind, the bird hovered motionlessly, and admittedly adjusting both its body and wings, self-possessed, caught the current of the strong wind, curving in a long half circle, slowly at first, and then picking up speed as it straightens upon the invisible course. The solitary bird flew far from my sight, yet within an image had reshaped into an empowered vision, disturbing the vague surrounding, resembling gray aloneness. I picked up an empty shell of a brown and cream curry that had probably been washed ashore from some earlier storm. I listened to the not-so-far memories of you through the shell, and also tasted semi-sweet berries remembered from childhood.
remember Horses and Cows.
We just watched
from Pedro show. You heard Patronus Twin Towers by Maeve Mills. Before that, Estuary, Sacred Trust, The Have-Nots X. Those are two tunes that Tim and Jason brought. Cool Arrow by the Hickoid started off. Jeff Smith said some great words about Lou Reed. Mm. He felt after hearing Lou Reed, it was like, you should be able to do what you want.
Mm.
Say what you want with your music.
Mm-hmm.
Be who you are. Don't worry about getting permission. Amen. We're at the end of the first hour, 2013, October 28th, edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. October 28th, 2013, it's second hour, a Watt from Pedro Show.
Creepy to your level, watching you undress. Creepy in your mind, sneaking in your covers, laying tonight in your own big bed.
On everything.
Jerry Jr. anyhow. Damn, that's good yeast. I must find my dog. You want egg salad? I'll give you egg salad. Did you bring the mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise?
I told you to take a jar.
Why, is he weird?
Never mind. If there's none on board, forget it. We'll use Miracle Whip.
Watt for Pedro show. We started off with some three songs that my guest brought. Straight Life by Art Pepper, who is a Pedro guy. Themselves from the Minutemen, which, and they didn't start off as Pedro guys, but they ended up Pedro guys. I was telling them because they didn't, a lot of people don't know this, but none of us were from here. Georgie was from Brockton, Massachusetts. D. Boone was born in Napa up north. Spent a lot of time in Bakersfield before he came here. And I'm from Virginia. So, yeah.
Immigrants.
But maybe that's how you can appreciate something. I don't know. If you're not from there, I don't know. But that's the facts. And then we heard James Booker with doing a live version of On the Sunny Side of the Street. After that was Violet Induced Armpit by Allegheny Whitefish. He's a Pittsburgh cat. Think Twice by Poison Idea. They're Portland. Yeah. Jerry A. Mascot with Orson Mitho. I think they're Italy. Rod Bryan with Don't Tell Me About Baby. He's Arkansas. Nice Sharp Pencils by Snake. They're Sourberry Bridge. It's a York party, England. Devin Flynn with Miracle Whip. He's SoCal. And finally, they say yucca, like Espanol should be, but we say yucca, huh?
Mm.
Right?
Yucca? 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 Yucca?
Yucca.
Yucca.
In Espanol, it should be yucca.
Yucca.
And that's the way they say it. But these guys are from Tokyo.
It's okay.
Originally Kanazawa. It was Night Driver. Okay, why did you bring these songs? The X song, the Minuteman, the Saccharine Trust.
Well, you know, we were talking about you know, like Jason's dad and my mom and that whole kind of...
No, you should explain to radio people.
We just grew up together. So our parents were kind of part of this community where, you know, literature... and art and music, good music. They had all the stories.
They were socialists in conservative Orange County.
Yeah, in the middle of the whole Reagan thing starting to happen.
Who was the guys down there? Bob Dornan and
B1 Bomber Dornan. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a state senator too.
The guy, how about the guy?
His daughter ended up sleeping with one of her students, and they married him, I think.
Oh, really?
Out of jail. One of that state senator guy. He had a whole another family. A lot of these guys were complicit. Schultz. What's his name?
Schultz. I don't know.
I think he was a state man, but the federal man was Mr. Dornan, and got beat by him.
I remember that.
By the help, right? Sanchez was still in office, I think.
Check this out. I remember 1972, I was in second grade during the presidential election. My parents were working for McGovern. I went to school. I wasn't even in second grade. I was in kindergarten. The kids in my kindergarten class were marching for Nixon. I mean, that's the kind of place we grew up, you know. So
you know what a farmer would tell you, though?
What's
if
that?
If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
There you go.
Well, it's trippy about the Minutemen.
Yes.
Yeah. Our parents were really important, too.
Yeah.
D. Boone puts me, his ma puts me on the bass. We're going to play after school. Not like we're going to make a band, but just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Georgie's ma's got the shed. You know, my ma, when I had the knee surgeries, D. Boone.
Yeah.
Both beat me and D. Boone move in.
Right.
The parents were big supporters for us, too.
Yeah, we remember these little parties that our parents would have, and they were talking, and there was wine, and you could tell there was a good vibe, or my dad standing in the middle of town with the no nuke signs, all that stuff. But our parents were different than a lot of other parents. This was down in Laguna.
Oh, by the way.
So Laguna did have, like, a little liberal community.
And it has an old tradition of an art thing.
It has an old art tradition and an old lefty thing.
Our mascot was the artist.
Okay. Yeah, so there was a little bit, it was like a toehold. We had a toehold into this other culture that we were really interested in finding out about more. And as we got older, the music of the Minutemen, the music of Saccharine Trust, of X, got us there. Took us over the tops. Gave us our own way of expressing our feelings.
You know where Saccharine was from, right?
Yeah, right here. From Wellington.
Next town,
yeah.
Wilmington.
Yeah.
Wilmington.
Both Pedro and Wilmington politically are Los Angeles.
Right.
But we used to be separate communities. This guy named Finnis Spanning was from Wilmington, Delaware. He's actually started the harbor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like in the 1850s, his daughter Lucy pissed it all away, married some crazies. And that's an interesting story about that because Wilmington's kind of beat down. They're trying to bring her back up now. I was there for Labor Day. That's where they had the march. But
so they kind
of
gave
not a lot of punk bands out of Weimas. Okay?
Yeah, right.
I remember when I first came here and I saw on the desk, Wilma. Who's this Wilma lady? or do they call... Because there's an S, so, you know, is there a few of them? And it was a slang name for their town. Because
Wilma.
Weimas. From Wilmington. mm-hmm. because they did busing. They integrated because their schools were kind of beat, so mm-hmm. bring them on over. And they got to meet us, and we got to meet them. It was actually a very cool thing. Mm. But, yeah, I thought Wilma's, I knew from the Flintstones.
Right.
And I thought, but it was
so
their slang.
Did you know the Sacred Trust guys, like, when was the first time you met them?
Well, how many punks were there? Mm-hmm. 200. So you would see these guys. You didn't really know them.
Yeah.
One of these guys, a Latin guy, ends up living under D. Boone's apartment. He gets over on 19th Street.
Yeah, what's the odds of that?
I don't know, but right when we're starting a minute, man, D. Boone didn't really like Reactionaries. Never gave us a song or anything. Because his plan was to make a trio.
Mm-hmm.
Like this idea of the 40s. So we're coming together with the first batch of tunes. In an apartment, can't have no drummer. We didn't even have one yet. And no amplifier, so we're just using the guitar and the bass. And to keep time, we're stomping on the ground, you know. So Joe Baez is here and all for hours. He thought it was these two crazy guys dancing. For hours. And hours. Like, these guys don't quit. And then D. Boone, I think, just went to his door and introduced himself. You know?
Uh-huh.
Because I think it was like in the 60s with long hair.
Yeah.
Before Manson.
Yeah.
You saw somebody with long hair, you could kind of
exactly.
trust them. That's how Black Flag asked us to open up for them, and we become SSTO, too.
Right.
We didn't know those guys.
Sacred Trust was the first record they put out, wasn't it?
No, their first one is Nervous Breakdown. That's
oh, yeah,
one.
Of course.
003 is what we call Pagnicons.
Pagnicons?
and we're number two. Number four is Jealous Again.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that whole history, that whole thing was really, really important to us. And that's why we put it on this mix, because for us it really, you know, comes part of that same continuum that the jazz came from, this underground scene, this really righteous thing, this artistic drive and purity. And that was all kind
of,
you know.
Have you ever heard the first version of themselves?
No.
It's on a little record called Feeble Efforts.
God, I don't know that
and record. And D. Boone did it with only a wrench at his job. He's beating the wrench on the pipe. Bing.
I got a cool recording that.
Man,
I was
we gotta hear that. Yeah,
those man who work the land. Yeah, he's just beating, covering himself with his machine, and he's beating it with
that's
the
wrench. Awesome.
You never heard it.
No.
And then there was an album. It was a little 7-inch with like 8 bands.
Feeble Attempts?
Feeble Efforts.
Efforts.
And then there was an album version with like 20, 25, and it was called Mighty Feeble.
Mighty Feeble.
This is my music.
Straight life is good life. Darkness is a plague. But the high road is too hard. And hell ain't got no gate. Yeah, dying is easy. Just lay down. But the living is heavy when you're gagged and you're bound. Welcome to Torture Town. You'll walk through the fire. Pushing the needle just to build some more. The heavy burden that you never put down is the cross that you die on here in Torture Town. Torture Town. Welcome to Torture Town. To Torture Town.
Torture Town. abre puertas del universo bailar. Me mueve el alma, me brinda calma, me da energía, me da las puertas para nadar infinitamente en paz. Pero también me tira lejos, me saca fuera de mi onda natural. Me hace ciego, me quema fuego, me pone loco, y la duda lentamente va acabando con mi vida.
Champion Sounds doing World of Confusion. Welcome to Torture Town by Torture Town. Maybe it's a theme song. Huh? And Melt Banana's got a new album, Schemes of the Tales, we heard. Satanism in School by Roman Gabriel Todd's The Beast Rising Up Out of the Sea. He's from Mobile. Armor Verde by Chicano Batman. We got to play with him in Pedro last month. Great band. Wild man. And then finally, Do You Remember by Husker Du.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of which, it's live too, so it's wild ass.
Mm.
Before, you know, Land Speed Record.
Yeah, of course. Did you see Husker Du back then?
May have been Chicago.
Yeah.
May have been Chicago.
That's right.
Because they came to town, we had an album done. They came to town, made a double, and we said, fuck. So we wrote all these songs.
Yeah,
and
keep going.
I saw D. Boone at, Champaign Urbana, Evansville, Illinois, at that place that...
Mabel's. Real close to the school.
I couldn't hang out for too long because I had eaten some mushrooms and You guys are sounding too good.
For one of those gigs, we played all of Ascension. There was this one tour we played Ascension, the whole thing, before we go on.
No way.
Really?
That's back awesome. Then.
I remember Mabel's. Maybe that was mushroom time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So anyway,
so, you know, I mean, the other thing was, you know, just Dad was pretty open to stuff, and he wasn't around sometimes, and one time I decided I wanted to go see X play sort of spontaneously in Tucson, I think. Devil House?
Yeah.
So I stole his car, basically, and just drove there. And
it's only 400 miles.
Yeah. Saw the show, came back the next day, and, you know, he was pretty righteously pissed. But then I explained to him why I did it and what I did and what I'd seen, and he asked me if he could hear some of the music, so I played him some X music. And he didn't exactly get into the music, but he got into the idea of it, and he got into the idea that I was willing to, that I cared so much about it that I'd done that. And he let me off, you know, and he was cool that way. You know, he sort of had this idea of like, well, it might not be what I'm into, but you should explore it, you know, because it's good for you. And he really got the LA
thing. I think every pop in the way wants his son to be his own man.
Mm.
He doesn't want a carbon copy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know how music is so identifiable. How could you exactly like another guy?
Right.
My pop, too, he thought, man, you should have been around me and him when he found out about punk. Oh, man, that little meeting. Okay, I'll tell you next hour, right there, the second hour. Watt Pedro Show, October 28th, 2013. Hold tight for hour three. October 28th, 2013. It's third hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
writing, academic writing, who your audience is. I mean, you know, what you're trying to bring to it. Who you're trying to communicate to. What are you trying to
communicate? You're inside academia.
Yeah, because Eric's a college professor.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like, just like...
So you mean coming from inside it and trying to relate to the world outside of it?
Well, you know, like, just basically, are you writing for other professors? Or are you writing for society?
The cat's
are you gonna is it gonna reproduce the ivory tower myths and narratives, or are you gonna bring a story that's so compelling it's gonna engage and draw in other
people?
And that's what I try to do.
Yeah,
Cal State LA history, Latin American history. I did Mexico.
Do you know about one of the first DIY things in the U.S. It's called Leaves of Grass.
Leaves? You mean
Walt Whitman?
Mr. Whitman?
Yeah, of course.
Put it out himself.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
I did not know that.
Get this.
That's true.
Harold Bloom wrote the thing for the 150th, because it's 1855, the first edition. He put this thing out to try to, because the slide towards the Civil War was a slow one.
Mm-hmm.
People knew it was coming for 10, 15 years. He thought he was going to stop the war with some poems.
That's amazing.
And I'm going to put it out myself. In fact, I'm going to write the letters to the newspaper. Wow, you got to check out this book with a fake name.
He thought
he was going to go on a tour and go to Grange houses and factories and read this. So this is what you're... Now, he's a self-taught guy. He's not from academia, but he's still a man of letters. But he doesn't want to stay within the world of letters.
Although
he puts Mr. Thoreau's letter, who got all pissed off, on the back of the second edition.
That's really funny. So he knew how to promote himself, too,
He was DIY.
If you're
going
to be DIY, you got to.
This is many years before... Well, a couple of years before.
Dr. Fine, Dave Fine, he caught my dad's imagination because he said this bumper sticker that said, "Teach Peace." And my dad was conservative. He was Republican, Orange County, businessman. Very open-minded, but very conservative at the same time. He goes, "I think we'd have an interesting conversation, Mr. Fine." But I gravitated towards his cultural and social perspective. And... You know, and he was a major part of it. So was his mom, Karen.
Yeah.
They offered me alternative cultural, you know, lifestyles and a critical outlook. Question war, question the government, question the nature of democracy or how it's working, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was great to have these guys and their parents.
And that was our whole connection.
And, you know, just totally stood up for what he believed in all the time and forever, you know, I mean, to the last days.
Oh, so like ethics.
Ethics.
Yeah.
Ethics. Working for the poor, working for, you know, giving, you know, I mean...
Oh, shit, I forgot to say what we started this off. Round Midnight, live from the Lighthouse, which I saw Max Roach do an entire drum solo on the hi-hat there at the Lighthouse.
That's amazing.
California Screamin', Sonny Criss.
Sonny Criss, another great L.A. horn player, you know, alto player. Beautiful guy, a little too sensitive, a little too wasn't a hustler, couldn't really make it on his own so well. Ended up actually committing suicide in 77. Beautiful player. Amazing player.
Thanks for bringing it. And then Hampton Hawes, who's number 3.
Yeah, tell me about that.
There's a good story behind that, this thing, you know. Hampton was in jail a lot, and he must have been only 19 or something when he made this record, but he'd been in jail, and he'd been saving up songs. And then when he got out of jail, he wanted to record. First night or second night he got out of jail, you know, they couldn't find a studio. But they knew a guy who had a piano in a warehouse near Chavez Ravine. So they said, "We'll get some mics, bring it down there, we'll just record it." They made 3 records in one night. It was just common with ideas.
All night sessions.
All night sessions, volume 1, 2, 3. I mean, he just sat down at the piano.
This is a tune from that session.
This is from volume 3. Yeah.
Sat down at the piano, and he didn't get up for like 16 hours, you know, and beautiful records. Check them out.
Yeah. Then we heard Cat Kong, Wolf Baby, Trainees by Holy Strays. That's amazing. I remember us Minutemen thinking records were only flyers to get people to the gigs. And now I really look at them as works. They're here when we're gone.
Yeah.
Whole different understanding I didn't have. But, you know, a lot of, we were talking about you didn't have to go through the arena rock.
Yeah.
A lot of our early punk is reaction against our... You know, the arena, the records.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So we were extreme. We thought those club gigs were so intense to us, profound. We thought that's what it's double thing.
But you guys put so much care into those records and those songs.
I know, but in a way, they were like gigs in front of mics.
Mm.
We trusted the man we'd make him with, Spot, or mm-hmm. Ethan James. Let mm-hmm. him mix it. Ethan James mixed all of Double Nickels, 45 songs in one night. Can you believe it?
That's some Hampton Hogs.
Hampton Hogs, but
that's
good. Some
Hampton Hogs shit.
It kind of mix.
Yeah, let's hear some more.
1, 2, 3.
World of tomorrow, world.
off and run. And then I see her by the road, and I know that I'll have my load. She'll never make it back alive. And then she edged on to my side, and there was nothing I could hide. Looking through my animal eyes, I'm gonna take them all by surprise. Doesn't matter who you are, I'm gonna get you in my car. Look out. I'm driving fast because I'm late. I got some smokies on my tail. Listen to them sirens wail. Looking through my animal eyes, I'm gonna take all the surprise. Doesn't matter who you are, I'm gonna get you in my car. Look out.
last batch of music.
Scary to me.
Do you remember a Detroit band called Death?
Sure.
Yeah, I got a demo here. The Mass of World of Tomorrow. Halloween's coming up. First day, I mean, the only day all year we admit we wear costumes. I'm going to play with my Messing Man up on Pico. I'm doing a weird gig Friday, too, with, what's it called, Improvised?
Mm.
But the dude's, the conductor, he runs a board with buttons to lights. When your light comes on, you start jamming. Oh. When it goes out, you stop.
That's a lot of pressure.
Kind of a little puppet monster.
You're on your
yeah,
own.
Yeah, yeah. So that should be interesting. Guy named Chris Schlar. Yeah. And then Animal Eyes by Defenders. Oh, yeah. This guy I had on last week. This is his father band in the 80s. That's how young dudes are now.
Yeah. No kidding. Right? No kidding.
Play the dude's dad.
No kidding.
From a wave band in the 80s. And then Fungal Abyss. I don't know anything about them. Year of the Bones, except Joe Baiza. Not Joe Baiza. Oh, I went to Joe Baiza's art show. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
But Joe Boone, D. Boone's little brother, recommended that too. Right. And finally, choice from you guys. Yeah, Tim. Jason. Clifford Brown, Max Roach with Harold Land's End.
Yeah,
now, I chose that for last because Land's End is what we call where Pacific stops.
That's right.
Land's End. And there's apartments there. That's where the reactionary started with Martin Tamer.
Right on. Great way to end it.
I need some advice for you guys, for the listeners out there. What has life taught you guys so far? I mean, you talked about, you know.
Oh, I've had a huge lesson in humility, staying humble.
That's what you would tell a young person coming up through the thing? Stay humble?
Stay humble. Yeah. Follow your dreams.
Tim?
Yeah, I think, I mean, just like as it relates to this music and, you know, the connection we've had for a long time to it, just, you know, staying curious, trying to find out new stuff, appreciate the original, like the core sounds, whether it's jazz or X, Minutemen, and then, you know, kind of use it with the ethics in your life.
Okay, great. Jason?
I'd just say, you know, for me, I mean, it's just, I think about my dad, and like, make life an adventure. Go for it. Do things. Mm-hmm. Take chances.
Let the freak flag fly.
That's what we got. So that's all we got. You know.
I want to thank you so much for coming to my Pedro town, hearing my prac bed.
Mike, thank you so much.
26 years. This is where I get the shit together. Try
yeah, man.
It.
It's
awesome.
Awesome.
That's where Tom Watson or Pete Mazich is. This is where Raul Morales or Jerry Trebatich is. Perk helped me put this together because I got tired of waiting, setting and tearing down drum sets. So he gave me. That's the first Jane Addiction kick drum.
Love it.
Is that right?
I mean, for us, just being here is just such a treat and a joy. I mean, this has been such a huge part of all three of our lives.
Well, I want to give you the tour of my town.
Absolutely, man.
We're there.
Thank you so much for coming aboard the show.
Thanks, man.
Big love.
Big love back. It's been October 28, 2013 edition of the Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.